Welcome everyone now to this evening worship service. The announcements are as follows. Tomorrow evening in Ballymoney at 7:30 is the meeting of the Northern Presbytery at which I'm due to respond to the call from Ballylagan. I indicated this morning that my intention is to accept that call, and then at that meeting what normally happens is that the pastoral tie between the minister and the congregation is dissolved and an interim moderator is appointed for Kilrath. Everyone's welcome to attend that meeting tomorrow night. Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock is scheduled for a session meeting. Hopefully that will go ahead one way or another. And then on Thursday evening, the ladies have a walk at Ballycastle, meeting at the play park at the seafront. That's the one nearest to the harbour at 7:30. And anyone who's not able to be there for 7:30, there is the later option of tea or coffee or ice cream, and that'll be at 8:30 at a venue to be announced. Well, not announced, but made known one way or another. Next Lord's Day, God willing, Sabbath school classes at 11, and prayer times 11:30, 7:10. And worship services 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. At the minute, don't know who will be taking those services. It could be me, could be the new interim moderator, or it could be somebody else, I suppose. Next, on Saturday morning, Collibaki, I have a coffee morning in their church hall, 10:30 till 12 noon. A reminder then of the synod meetings that are coming up, and they're from Monday the 12th to Wednesday the 14th of June in Trinity RP Church in Newton Abbey. The Women's Fellowship are due to meet again on Thursday the 15th of June at 8 o'clock, and there's a free book on the table for all the ladies in the congregation, and it's the first chapter of that book will form part of that meeting, and anyone who can't make it to the meeting, can still read the chapter and then get the benefit of that from your personal reading. Northern Presbytery CY Team Challenge Night here at Kilrath on Saturday the 17th of June from 7:30 to 9:30, and that's for year 8 and upwards. And those are the announcements that I'll make. We come to worship God together this evening. We sing his praise from Psalm 34, singing from the beginning of the psalm. We use the tune Kilmarnock 106, Psalm 34, and singing from the beginning. We sing the first four stanzas, and in the fourth stanza we're told that the angel of the Lord encamps round those who do him fear, encamps around them, so that they by him delivered are. And in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord is the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus encamps around those who fear him. Nothing will get through that defense. If you're surrounded by the Lord Jesus, you are safe and you are truly delivered. We sing these first four stanzas. The tune is 106. We stand to sing and remain standing for prayer. Let us all worship God.
Oh, my God.
we speak to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we return thanks to you for the Lord's Day. We thank you for the blessing of this day. And Lord, we rejoice that we're able to meet together on the evening of your day and bring you our worship. We thank you that we always have cause to praise your great name. We thank you for these words of the psalm that speak of those who look to you and are radiant, and those who are surrounded by the angel of the Lord. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ surrounds his people, that he encamps around us, and that we are truly delivered by him. And we praise you for that protection and that security that there is in Christ. Lord, be with us this evening. Help us as we remember the things that you have put into your word. We pray that you will cause your words to be precious in our estimation. Forgive us our sin, O Lord, and help us now in our evening worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I forgot to say about the elders' meeting briefly after the service. We can meet in the session room after this service is over. Let us read together from God's Word. I want to read from Romans chapter 8 and 1 Peter chapter 1. First of all, the 8th chapter of Romans, and reading from verse 28 through to the end of the chapter. Romans 8 at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then also reading in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 1, and from the beginning of that chapter, we read the first 9 verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And we end our reading there at verse 9 in this chapter. We sing again to God's praise from Psalm 125. We use the tune Abbeville, number 41. Psalm 125. The psalm speaks to us of God's protective care around his people. Begins, those in the Lord who place their trust are just like Zion Hill, for it cannot be moved at all, but stand forever will. And then stanza two, as all around Jerusalem the mountains ever stay, the Lord his people he surrounds, both now and then always. There never will be a time when the Lord will not be surrounding his people. He does so now, and he will do so always. Psalm 125, the first, we sing the whole of the psalm, the five stanzas, tune Abbeville, number 41. We stand as we praise God.
Stand forever with.
We come to God's Word this evening. I want to speak on the subject of God's enduring grace. Today I have been conscious of something that doesn't endure, and that is my ministry here in Karatz, and none of us last forever, but I want to speak about something that does last forever, God's enduring grace. And this is a precious doctrine that we find taught clearly in the Scriptures, within theology, sometimes called perseverance of the saints, sometimes called eternal security of the saints. And I want to call it God's enduring grace. And I want to speak, first of all, some words of caution, and then I want to speak some words of encouragement. First of all, then, some words of caution regarding God's enduring grace. This doctrine that the Scriptures teach, it doesn't mean that every person who at some stage in their lives claims to be a Christian will therefore go to heaven and enjoy eternal life. If we are to do full justice to what the Scriptures teach, we will have to admit and we will have to acknowledge that there will be some people who thought they were Christians who will not go to heaven. There will also be people that the church thought to be Christians who will not go to heaven. We would wish that that was not the case, but we can't believe the Bible and believe that that is not the case. And therefore, it is a challenge to all of us who believe ourselves to be Christians. We also need to examine ourselves and ensure that we are not just engaging in wishful thinking. Let me mention a few things that would encourage us to take this matter seriously. Think first of all of the apostle Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, but he's not in heaven. Judas Iscariot does not seem to have been suspected as being the one who would betray the Lord Jesus. He didn't stand out any more than any of the other apostles. It wasn't that it was obviously going to be Judas. He seemed to be a believer. He did what the others did, but he wasn't truly of the Lord. And the Scriptures would indicate that Judas Iscariot will not be the only one. The Lord Jesus, in some searching words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Jesus says, "Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." Jesus said there'll be many people, and they will think that they were on the Lord's side and doing the Lord's work, and Jesus will have to declare that he never knew them. And those verses and other words in Hebrews chapter 6 show us that it is possible for people to have very uplifting, very exhilarating spiritual experiences. They can experience something of the power of the gospel without actually truly being saved. People can be members in the church. People can seem to be indistinguishable from others around them. But then they fall away and they depart from the Lord and his cause, and they turn their backs upon it all. People can seem to be following Christ, but then they turn away from him. And surely that is what the parable of the soils that Jesus taught teaches us. Jesus spoke of the seed that fell in the rocky places. And he says in Matthew 13, 20 and 21, "What was sown in rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. And we have to acknowledge that these things are taught to us in the Scriptures. They speak about people who seemed to be Christians, but who did not persevere as followers of the Lord Jesus. But the important thing is that they never truly were believers. 1 John 2, verse 19, it says, of such people, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. And it is possible for people to twist the teaching of the scriptures on this issue of God's enduring grace and to draw false comfort from it. No one who is trusting in some past experience but who is not presently walking with the Lord should be thinking to themselves, well, all is well because of what happened in the past. What is the reality today? That is the key thing that we have to examine when we look at ourselves. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 22, that he who endures to the end will be saved. He says the same thing in Matthew 24, verse 13. He who endures, or he who stands firm to the end, will be saved. Nowhere does the Lord Jesus Christ encourage anyone who has turned away from him to think that all will be well because of what they used to be, but are not anymore. So these words of warning in regard to the scriptural teaching about God's enduring grace, we're not to draw false comfort from it. But then I want to speak words of encouragement about what this doctrine does mean. The doctrine of God's enduring grace. It does mean that those whom God chose from before the creation of the world to be saved, they will never be anything other than saved. They will never lose their salvation. It does mean that those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, they will never be lost. If Christ has died for someone, that person will be saved forever. It does mean that those who are born again of God, the Holy Spirit, will not become unborn of God, the Holy Spirit. God's plans will not fall at the final hurdle. And there's absolutely nothing unreasonable about believing that is the case. It makes perfect sense. What kind of God could honestly be described as the Lord God Almighty if he is always trying to save people but can't do it because those people keep turning away from him? That wouldn't be an almighty God at all. But we shouldn't just believe the doctrine of God's enduring grace because it makes sense. We should believe it because it's taught in the Scriptures. There are Christians, people who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, and they believe that they can lose their salvation. But that is not what the Scriptures teach. We are not people who save ourselves and can lose ourselves. We are people who are saved. We're saved by someone far greater than ourselves, and we are held onto by someone far greater than ourselves. And I want to think along three different lines in regard to what the Scriptures teach about God's enduring grace. First point, the first of these three is very simply that the life that God gives to his saved people is eternal life. That is such a simple point, but it is such an important thing. That when you are saved, you receive eternal life. John 3:16, we're taught, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 5:24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John 6:40, Jesus says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. When God saves someone, the only kind of life that he ever gives to someone he saves is eternal life. And how could life be eternal if you can lose it? How can it be eternal if it only lasts for a few months or years? That's not what eternal means. God deals in eternal life. Jesus is a Savior who gives eternal life. And so we believe in God's enduring grace. Second line of thought is that God gives us a guarantee. Guarantee is a great thing. It's a great thing to have. Something you buy and it breaks down within a few weeks. But if you have a guarantee, well, you'll get another one to replace it. Well, God gives us a guarantee in regard to our salvation. When God saves a person, he sends his own Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, goes to dwell within a person who has been saved. Ephesians 1:13-14. Having believed, you are marked in him with a seal. What is the seal? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We are marked with a seal. The Holy Spirit is a seal of God upon our salvation. And God stamps his Spirit upon us and he says, saved. Saved forever. Ephesians 4:30, we're told that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. Holy Spirit is God's seal upon us, and we are sealed for the day of redemption. And the word guarantee is a meaningless word if you cannot trust God's guarantee. If God gives you a guarantee and you won't accept that that is a guarantee, well then, a guarantee is a pointless word. The Spirit of the Lord is a guarantee of eternal life. And therefore, we believe in God's enduring grace because of the sealing of the Spirit. And then in the third place, I just want to mention various verses or passages of Scripture that teach us clearly that those whom God saves, those whom Christ finds, do not end up as those who are lost. Romans 8:29-30, we read these verses. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. It's never most of those that he called, he also justified. It's never some of those that he called that he also justified. It's just those. And those means all of those. Also in Romans 8, from verses 35 to 39, Paul asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And his answer is that nothing. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. And those whom Christ loves, those For whom he died will never be separated from that love of Christ. There is no divorce from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Philippians 1 verse 6, we're told, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's God who begins the good work of salvation, and God will complete that good work. God does not begin something that he doesn't also finish. No minister ever finishes his work. There's always unfinished business. There's never anyone who could finish and say, that's it all done. There's nothing left that is incomplete. But with God, he begins it and he carries it on to completion. And therefore we believe in God's enduring grace. The words of Jesus in John 10, chapter in which he talks about himself as the good shepherd. And verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And we're wonderfully told in those words that the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he is holding on to us. And we're told that his Father, the Lord God Almighty, that his hand is firmly upon us, and no one can snatch us away from those hands that are upon us. That is security. Hebrews 10, verse 14. We're told there, wonderful verse, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The work of the Lord Jesus, by one sacrifice, he makes the saved people perfect forever. And so we believe in God's enduring grace. We read in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verses 3 to 5, Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And there we're told of our inheritance in Christ. It can never perish, it can never spoil, it can never fade, and we are shielded by the power of God himself. And these are verses and passages that should make our hearts rejoice if we know ourselves to be truly saved. These are words that show us that we must believe in God's enduring grace. And yet, of course, it's true that we are sinners, and we will continue to let the Lord down. We will be found faithless at times, yet he will remain faithful. There may even be times in our lives when we will wander away from the Lord and his ways. But if we are his, he will bring us back, just as he brought back King David, who went astray, just as he brought back Jonah, who went astray, and just as he brought back the Apostle Peter, who denied him three times. We'll be singing from Psalm 37 at the end, and it says in verses 23 and 24, the Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps he has made firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And the Lord continues to uphold his people forever. And it is because God will always persevere with us. It's because his grace is enduring grace that we will be able, that we will be enabled to stand firm to the end. Jesus says, you have to stand firm to the end. And in Isaiah 54, verse 10, it says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Many things that seem like bad things may happen to us in this world, but God's love for his saved people will never fail. And that love of God began before the creation of the world, when God chose to save us in Christ. That love of God continued when, at the appointed time, he sent his Son into this world, sent him to that cross to take upon himself the punishment for the sins of those people he had chosen to save. That love of God continued when he poured out his Holy Spirit, and when he gives new life to those people who have been earmarked for salvation. And that love of God will never end. And God did not choose any of us as his people because of any good that he saw in us. And God will not abandon us because of any lack of good that he sees in us. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8 tells us, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all who are truly saved will persevere to the end, because the Lord will persevere with us. And he will keep us strong to the end, and he will present us faultless before the throne of grace. Let us believe in God's enduring grace. His salvation is a salvation that lasts. It is designed in eternity, and it continues on into eternity. Let us praise him for his enduring grace. Amen. We speak to God now in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. O Lord, our Father in heaven, we give thanks to you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all the reassuring promises that are there in the scriptures. Thank you for what your word tells us about your enduring grace. We thank you for what your word tells us about that love of yours that will not be taken away from those upon whom you have set that love. And, O Lord, we pray that you will help us in the times when we're conscious of our own sin and our own weakness. Help us to be able to look onto our Savior and rejoice in what he has purchased for us, and that he is the one who will present us faultless before your throne of grace. Lord, help us to be those who endure to the end. Help us not to take our salvation for granted. Help us not to trust in what we used to be, but, O Lord, help us today to strive to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks, O God, for your love for your church and for your provision for your people. We thank you for the joy of the congregation or the group of people in the city of Limerick as they look forward to Vincent MacDonald coming among them in due course. And Lord, we do pray for Vincent in that move of many miles and into a very different kind of life setting. And we pray for Vincent and Elizabeth that you'll help them, O Lord, in all that's involved in that move. And Lord, we pray that you will do a solid and wonderful work there in Limerick in building your church. We pray, O God, for the men who will preach in this pulpit in the coming weeks and months. We pray for the preachers during the vacancy. We ask, Lord, that you'll be pleased to move those men in their hearts just in terms of what they would preach on. We pray that you will do that in a wonderful way, and that every time that your people gather, we pray that they will find spiritual food. And we ask, O Lord, that you would remember the needs of your people here, and that your word will be proclaimed, and that your people will be blessed. We ask for your help for the elders of the congregation in the responsibility that they have, and we pray that you'll give wisdom in thinking through different matters relating to the vacancy. We pray for the appointment of an interim moderator, and we pray that there will be someone who'll be willing to take that role upon himself, and that he will do a good job and be a good servant of the church here in Karatz. We pray that interim moderator and elders will work well together, and we pray, O God, that you will provide for your people. We pray, O Lord, that that provision will be there, and that you will give everything that's needed to ensure that that will be the case. We pray, Lord, for other congregations in our denomination who are without a pastor, and we pray for them in their thinking, that you will guide them, O Lord, if there's a particular direction that their thoughts should be going. We pray that you will give them a oneness of mind on that matter. And Lord, we pray that you will share out your resources, that people will not be left for a long time without a settled ministry. And we pray that that you would be merciful to this congregation, O Lord. We pray that it may be the case that before the end of next year, that there will be another minister in Karatz, or at least on his way to Karatz, that 2024 wouldn't be a year when there wouldn't be a minister in the Karatz congregation. We thank you, Lord, for your great goodness to this congregation of your people over the years, that the vacancies have been so short that there never has been a long vacancy. We thank you, Lord, for many long ministries, and we praise you, God, for your goodness to men who have served here and how you've enabled them to keep going for a long time in that position. Lord, we pray that you will raise up other men to train for gospel ministry, and we pray that you will put that desire powerfully into their hearts, that they would want that, O Lord, not for any selfish reasons, but that they would know the call of God upon them. We pray, O Lord, that you would compel them to move in that direction, and give them no peace, O Lord, until they answer that call. We pray for the men who train our ministers. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them and help them, O Lord, in the work that they do. We pray for Professor McCollum, who intends to retire after the next academic year. And we pray that there will be a suitable replacement for him that can be appointed at Synod, so that he will have time to prepare in the year to come for teaching further on down the line. We pray that you will continue to raise up men who will not only be able to do the work of the ministry within congregations, but will also be gifted so that they will be able to train other men to do that work. And we recognize that extra burden that falls upon those men, and we thank you for those that you have provided, and for the gifts that you have endowed them with. And we pray that as they continue to serve you in that way, that you will raise up many others for them to train. And we pray, Lord, that you will hear the prayers of your people for the future ministers and elders within congregations. Lord, hear these our prayers now, and strengthen our hearts for these days. And we pray that you will hear and answer the prayers of your people, and help us, Lord, to keep looking to you and to keep being thankful for your enduring grace. We pray all now in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 37. We use the tune Jackson 102. Psalm 37. The stanzas we sing are 19 to 22. And then also turn over the page and we sing the last two stanzas, 30 and 31. In stanza 19, we're told, "The Lord makes firm the steps of man, in his way takes delight. And though he falls, he's not cast out. The Lord's hand holds him tight." That firm grip of the Lord. And in stanza 22, it says, "Because the Lord loves justice, he his saints won't leave alone. Forever kept, they're not like sons of sinners overthrown." And God's saints are forever kept. His grace is an enduring grace. We sing 19 to 22 and then also 30 and 31 to the tune Jackson 102. We stand to sing and then remain standing for the benediction. Receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
There's another mouse from the day of the company, mainly because he didn't know anything about it. As we're planning to have a cup of tea tonight, just for an hour to be at the end of the service, so if you'd like to stay behind,